All right, we're going to look at Isaiah, chapter 8. You've probably never heard a message on this ever in your life. Pele Ya'atz, wonderful counselor. El Gibor, mighty God. Ad Av, everlasting father. Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. These are the four titles of the Messiah. They are four messianic titles. And they're much smoother in the Hebrew than they are in the English. Nevertheless, they tell us who Jesus is. And am I not on? I'm on? Yeah. No, I'm 8. 8. 8. The reason I want to start in chapter 8, which you've never heard before, is chapter 9 has very little meaning. I mean, you can just pull it out of context and go straight to the New Testament. But what you're doing is ripping it out of the Holy Spirit's context. So I want to go back into the context in the 8th chapter. And listen to this. Moreover, the Lord said to me, the prophet Isaiah, take thee a great roll, a scroll. Take thee a big, get a big one. And write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shal Ahashbaz. Now, Maher Shal Ahashbaz is the name that says, quickly run to the spoil. Take it. Just get it. And rush upon the prey. Devour it. So that's what Maher Shal Ahashbaz says, one name. It's the longest word in the Bible. It's the longest word in the Bible. So, this word from the Hebrew is what he wrote on the scroll. Quickly, run to the spoil. That's the good part. You pick up the money, the cash, the whatever. And race upon the prey. Destroy everything. Now, the spoil is for whoever it is that gets that, the victor. How many know that we pick up the spoil? We pick up the spoil, which is the purification of your spirit. And we also then devour the prey. My flesh is going to die. So when you go through troubles in your life, rejoice, because you should run quickly. But in this case, it's the king of Assyria. But the king of Assyria is actually, he's a bad guy, but he's used by God. God uses bad guys. That should be hopeful for you. God uses bad guys. God uses everything for your benefit, to kill your flesh and purify your spirit. Kill your flesh and purify your spirit. It's one-stop shopping. You get them both in the same fire, both in the same affliction. Now, this is talking about Assyria capturing the northern tribes, the Yankees, in the Holy Land as a warning to the southerners. How many know the northerners are captured, but the southerners are still free? But it's a warning to them. Watch out, because the Assyrian is going to come, and he could take you too. But he's going to quickly seize upon the spoil and devour the prey, which will be the northern Israelis. Today the land is called the land of Israel, Israel. He shall reign, he shall judge, he shall rule forever. But it's actually mostly Jewish, which means Judah, which are the southerners. Because the southerners got captured later, quite a bit later, because they didn't take the warning. They didn't watch what happened to the northerners. So if I were to apply it to America, it's that the northern establishment is already in the hands of our enemies, but the southerners are still free. But you better be careful and draw close to God, otherwise you'll end up in the same mess. So all of the history of America is one of liberty, only because we kept moving west and south. Otherwise we would not have been. So we are now today in great difficulty and trouble again. Nothing really to do with north and south anymore. But because our secularization are turning away from God, are, you know, trying to think things out, and call our founding fathers, for example, deists and, you know, Enlightenment people and philosophers and all this stuff, Masons and so on and so forth. There is some truth to that, but the real truth is that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian biblical principles and ideas. And even though it's not exactly as people say, it doesn't matter, there's still the issue is that you cannot have a good country unless you have a good God. So unless the light of the gospel is in your heart, hidden, not direct, so I don't believe in church and state playing around together. It's not direct. It's inside the people. It's not inside the politics. It's not inside the government. You don't want the government helping the church or the church helping the government. You want it to be entirely separated because it belongs to God. They both belong to God, but one belongs to God over here on his left hand for this world, and the other belongs over here on his right hand for the world to come. But this world needs that which is coming. They need the future kingdom now, here. That's why Jesus came. So, moreover, the Lord said to me, take a big scroll, write on it this name, Maharshal Al-Hashbaz. Quickly rush to the spoil and devour the prey. So, there it is. It's a testimony that the Jewish people today, by the way, this is exactly what's going to happen to them. The Jewish people today, this is not over. They're going to be devoured. Did you hear what I just said? I don't have to prophesy, I'm just reading it out of the Bible. But I also could prophesy and say that what I'm telling you is still current. Even though it happened then, it has a second part to it because his hand is still outstretched. Why? Because he loves Israel. That's why. So she has to go through one more. This will be number 7. One more judgment, difficulty, trouble, trial, furnace, affliction, just like us. Just like you. You have to have so many trials in your life until you're finally broken. And you finally go, well, yahoo. I'm going to serve the Lord. Because you're full of yourself. You have so much self in you that it has to be destroyed and all the flesh has to get out. And it just, we're so stubborn and we're so persistent we will go through furnace after furnace and still not learn a lesson. We just never get to that point where we say, you know, all you got to do is turn to God. All you got to do is rejoice. All you got to do is stop looking at everything in this world. Stop being, stop trying to fix everything and change everything. Just relax. God loves you. Whenever you get that, woohoo, you're free. Amen? Anyone like to have that? That's the only reason you should be here. Because I believe in suffering, I believe in affliction, I believe in constant problems and troubles until you get your lesson learned. And it takes 7. Has anybody been through one? Anybody been through one trial? Yes. See, we got one. Anyone had 2? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How about 3? Anybody has as many as 3 trials where you're almost to the point of death? It's not talking about your physical death. It's talking about you. It's death of the self. You're almost going like this. Okay, God. Okay, I got it. I'm gonna be serious from now on. And then you don't. How many's been through 4? 4. 5. 6. How many 6? 6 is that will kill off the flesh. That's 6th one. And then 7 is when you're absolutely perfected. 7 is the perfect number. You're absolutely perfected. That's how you refine gold or silver. You put it in, and you put it in, and you put it in, and the dross goes off, and the dross goes off, and the dross goes off. And finally, after the 7th time, Naaman, the Syrian, comes up out of the water, and his leprosy is gone. His flesh is gone. It's killed. So you got to wash over and over again. You got to hear the word over and over again. And if you come to church 7 times, you'll be perfect. So that's all I can say. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record Uriah the priest, Zechariah the son of Jeber-i-Kiah. And I went unto the prophetess, it's his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maharshal Al-Hashbaz. What a name. Maharshal Hashbaz, come here. You know, it's like, that's a long name. But the little kid didn't care, you know, rush to the spoil, you know, run upon the prey and devour it. You know, he was excited. So what it meant was, this is a warning to Judah. Your sister is going to be taken, your northern neighbor. When you see the north fall, when you see the banks collapse, be careful, because everything's about to go underground. And it doesn't matter how many times you try to save her, she's gone. So learn the lesson. Amen? Learn the lesson. Because he's after the purification of his bride. Don't worry about what he's judging. Judgment is good. When judgment comes, it's always followed by hope. It's always followed by blessing. There's a blessing in every judgment. There's a resurrection after every death. So don't you know, say, oh, I wish I didn't have so many problems. God, get me out of my problems. How many have prayed that? God, I got so many addictions. I got so many fears. I got so many, you know, I don't think you can ever get me. I mean, I'm too tough. I'm too smart. I'm too clever. I'm too alive. I just see bounce up again and go one more time, hit the wall again, do it again. You know, it's like, when will I ever learn? So God uses those difficulties and troubles not to purify you quickly, but to purify it little by little. Where you go, well, I know God's good. I know He's God. I know I'm not God. Okay, but you didn't learn that. You just learned about that. You know, you learned and you thought, I got it down. Yeah, you got it in your head, but you don't have it yet in your heart. You don't know what it really is to be quiet, just to rest, just to relax, just to say, everything's going my way. God, I'm having a wonderful time down here. All the troubles and problems doesn't bother me. In the world, you have trouble, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm happy. I'm not worried about a thing. How many are not worried about a thing? You know, just totally relaxed, totally excited. Everything's going my way. How many like that? You know, all the problems you have, come on, those are just to kill off your flesh. All those problems, they just kill off your flesh. But they'll release your spirit. They'll deliver you in the spirit. So that when you stand before God, He'll say, well done. Good. Faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. That's much better than the other thing, which is, depart from me, you evildoers. I don't know you. I never knew you. I never spent any time with you. All those problems drive you either away from God or to God. When you have a problem, but here's how we usually do it. God, okay, I got it. I'm repenting. And He goes, yeah, for the 5 minutes. No, this is serious. This is long term. I mean it, too. I got it now. How many have gotten it over and over and over again, and yet you still are dead? You're still raping Him, using Him, paying Him off. You know, God, all right, here I am. You know, and He goes, are you here to stay? Yes. I got to, and you're off doing something else again. That's the way I am. Fickle. Just fickle. As long as the trouble's there, I need God. Close. Get close to Him. God, no. Look, if you get me out of this, I swear, I will never stray again. Okay, just one more time. This is it. And then I forget in just minutes. Even after He delivered, I forgot. I was going to thank Him, and I forgot about Him. I'm just off doing my thing. Does anyone identify with that? It's important. All right, so here's Israel. She's in deep trouble, and she hasn't. This scripture is still alive to this day. I went unto the prophet as she conceived, bare the son, said to me, call his name, and so on. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of, here are the northern Yankees, the spoil of Samaria. Now, Samaria is that area between Jerusalem in the south and all the northern tribes. So some area is that exact area that's in the middle. And that's where today the Samaritans still live there. They still have their thing, but it's surrounded by Israel. But Israel today still has in her belly Muslims that hate her guts. And they're in her guts. They're right there in the middle. So in the middle of the middle of the middle, it's still got enemies that trouble her. And there's nothing you can do about it. The UN can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can do about it. As a matter of fact, the UN wants to divide Israel and divide Jerusalem and give one-third, 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 and so on, Christians, Muslims, and Jews. Everybody can share in that city. So it's going to be tripartite and kind of divvy it up between the three contestants. Now, the Pope has always wanted Jerusalem as the spiritual center of the Roman Catholic Church. I don't know if you know that. I mean, from the beginning. His greatest ambition, is to get something there in Jerusalem. And not Rome. Rome was the secular, but he wanted the spiritual. Are you aware of that? Does anybody know that? Do you know that? That has been his oldest, greatest dream in the Roman Catholic Church was to take Jerusalem. That's why the Crusades. They went there, you know, supposedly to do thus and so, but they actually had other ambitions. And they tried to build a kingdom there. And there are still kings in Spain, the King of Spain and different ones. They still have those titles, King of Jerusalem. Did you know that? Malta. All of these places are still tied in with the Holy Land somehow. Hoping. Let's get our portion at least. We'll get our portion, then we'll take the other two guys later. So a lot of the world today, forget all China and India and all that stuff. Forget those guys. It's all about those three contestants. The three, what we call revealed religions, are toughing it out for the whole world. Who's going to reign? Be the Christians? The Jews? They be on top? Or the Muslims? And they're all fighting. They all got a vision. Y'all understand that? You're not going to understand the news or what's going on in this world or the economy. You will never understand the economy. It has nothing to do with economy. It has to do with this religious vision. It has to do with religious vision. Capitalism comes out of one of those groups. It's not the one you think of, but it doesn't matter. But this thing is a real battle for who's going to win, who's going to keep control of the earth. And the Lord spoke to me also, verse 5, saying, for as much as this people, verse 6, refuse the waters of Shiloah that go softly and rejoice in Chazin and Remaliah's son. Now, I know you don't know what that means, and I'm not going to explain it, because I always have to stay ahead of you as your pastor. Otherwise, you'll wonder what good I am. And now, therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river. Now, I'll explain this, because you got to understand this. The waters of the river are like the river Tigris-Euphrates, because that's where Assyria is from. So she's up above the Tigris. She's up above the Tigris. Now, those waters are going to overflow or flood the land of Israel, but just the northern part. But they'll actually flow through the southern part as well, kind of like a warning. I could take you now too, you know, but I'll just take the north. I'll just take the north. So the 10 tribes were taken, seized. They were the prey. They were the spoil. Took them wholesale. Now, today they're spread throughout the earth. They didn't actually go nowhere. They went somewhere. And where they went, into slavery, they flourished more than in the land of Israel. Those that came to New York, those that went to, you know, China, wherever, they're everywhere doing business. And they're doing great. And they love even being in Iraq. They won't leave Iraq. They're not going to leave Iran. And they're hated there, but it doesn't make a difference. They're making money. You know, the news is not the truth. You understand, underneath the table, deals are being done all the time. Muslim, Jewish, don't mean zip. Doesn't mean anything. Business. That's what they're doing. So Christian, Jew, Arab, you know, so on. They're just doing business. They've always done business. So that's the way God wants it. God likes that. God likes that. Why? Because it's kind of like a warning to you. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't think you know what you're doing, because it's bigger than you. It's something hidden. So there's something going on today that when he said seek first the kingdom, he means seek first the kingdom. Now, they're not. They're seeking first cash, trying to get the spoil and the prey. That's good. That's good. I love these deals. Don't you love it? The more complex it is, the better. So, the Lord will bring upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria. So you see, it's the king of Assyria in all his glory, overflowing. It's just like America today is seeking empire. Economic, not political. Economic empire. If you control the money, you actually control the politics. Did you know that politics is watered by money? And when one of the things that I do, I always do it. Whenever I get into political, I'm running again, by the way. But whenever I get into political office, first thing I do is go and I want to see all the money. I want to see all the checks that were written and all the checks that were received. I want to see who gave what, to whom, and who got what, and why, and who did that. I just love doing that. It scares them to death. It scares them to death. As a matter of fact, David could tell you, where's David? One of the first things you did down there, because he was there the other day, was they asked about the books, didn't they? Don't. Okay, there you go. You can't. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. Ah, there it is. He's going to pass through the Christians as well. He's going to pass through us too. So Judah is the southern tribe. And all of us are involved in this indirectly, but just as centrally. So it's not over. And he shall overflow and go over. And he shall reach even unto the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. You remember the sign that was given in chapter 7? And a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. So this is the land of Emmanuel, the land of the Messiah. Are we not part of that land? Spiritually. Spiritually, we are part of the land. But it's a spiritual land, not just physical. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and you shall be broken in pieces. In other words, let not the church ever become part of a hierarchy that has any kind of deal with the state. So, you don't know how I got there. I understand. But this is what it's saying. Associate, you know, confederate. Draw yourself together. Make a deal with the government. Associate yourselves. All be together, and then make a deal and get favor. No, never do that. Stay vulnerable. Stay weak. Stay only under God. Don't ever leave your weak position. Why? Does anybody know why you should be weak instead of strong? Yeah. When you are weak, then you are strong. Because you're going to go to God who is strong to strengthen you. And the joy of the Lord, that's my strength. And so I don't want to be strong in this world. I don't want the world to favor me. I just want God to, you know, forgive me all my sins. And if he does, you will be favored. So that, you get there a different way than witchcraft. You get there a different way than your machinations and all of your wisdom and power and strength and all your deals. Because in the business world, you have to associate. You have to make confident things is, do you have confidence in me? Yeah. Do you trust me? Yeah. Okay. So you make deals, contracts, covenants. You make all kinds of arrangements, and that's how you get ahead. It's not what you know, but who you know. And so you get ahead by all the associates you have. Associate yourselves, and you'll be broken. I was like, whoa. I was just about to make some handshakes with some people. I was just about to sign some documents. Be careful. Be careful. Now, he's not talking about business here. He's talking about his people. He's talking about his people. You want to become a prey? You want to be a prey and a spoil? You know, then associate yourselves. Because when I hit them, I'm going to hit you. Oh, I don't want that. Okay, well then stay separate. So stay separate. That's why he called Abraham out of Ur. Get away. Then he called him to leave Lot. Get away. Be pure. Stay pure. You're a bride. How many have stayed pure? Okay, next question. So, stayed pure. It just means always have faith in God. Doesn't mean you stayed pure. Staying pure means you believe that God is your only hope. That's all. That's all simple. It's not at all what you thought. Staying pure is not staying pure. It's remembering that He is pure and trusting in Him. That's all. Staying pure is just trusting in Him. God, I'm not faithful, but I believe You are. I mean, I'll mess up. I'll forget every second. I'll do wrong. But you won't be, because you can't lie. I quit, but you can't. So, didn't you make a promise about me? Good, keep it. Don't ask me to keep my promises, but you better keep yours, because I could be in trouble. I'll swagger about, but when I get in trouble, I'll remember. God, don't forget your promise. You made that promise. I associated with you. Now, I'll agree, I messed up on my side of the bargain. But didn't you keep both sides? Didn't you keep my side and your side? Didn't you say, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Didn't you say that? Now, I didn't say I wouldn't leave you. You said you wouldn't leave me. Didn't you say it was your pleasure to give me the kingdom? Okay, did you forget? Even though I don't deserve it, don't forget you said that. Did you know you can tie God down to his covenant? If he says he doesn't lie, then he doesn't lie. So you could lie all day long. He didn't say anything about me not lying. And the good work he began, he'll surely complete it. You all understand that? So you're not a good wife. Wouldn't that be good to say right now? I'm not a good wife. No. Kathy. Amen. And that was good. I knew that. I just knew that. Pam, did you want to say that too? You did already. God doesn't want you to be a good wife. I'll tell you right now, you are wrong to think I could be a good wife. He doesn't want you to be a good wife. Just be you. Let God be a good husband to you. Don't worry about you being a good wife, good husband, good child, good anything. You're not good. Only God is good. No one else is good. Only one is good. Only one. There's only one good, God. Now, he doesn't want you to be good. He doesn't want you to be good. Stop it. Well, the law says, I don't care what the law says. Let those that are big enough and strong enough keep the law if they can. Because they can't. How many have all failed? We've all failed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. And if the law is, do the best you can, maybe I can make it. But if it isn't, and it says be perfect, then I'm not going to make it. So, if perfect means God, be exactly like God, I don't make it then. But if he promised, no, you shall be holy, I promise. Oh, no, okay, well, then do it. Do it, and don't expect me to help. Do you all have that down? It's so tricky that you'll forget it in 3 seconds. It's so tricky that being pure means not being pure, but believing that he is, and that he who is will make you pure through the fire. It's a little ways and means committee. He turns up the fire, sends you through it. It burns your flesh, but it purifies your spirit. The dross goes off, and the pure gold comes out. It's beautiful. You just heat it up, so all the stuff goes. And you heat it up higher, more stuff. You heat it up higher. That's how you purify gold. It's so simple. That's where the beauty comes from. Associate yourselves, O people, and you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you of far countries. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. You know, if you take care of yourself, if you protect yourself, if you think you're smart, if you think you know what you're doing, you're going to lose everything. That's all he's saying. So just like relax, like, I just ain't going to look. Because I know I'm going to screw up, and I know that nothing's going to work if I take myself seriously. I think I just won't. I think I'll just play the game, but I'll remember it's a game. And then I'll let God do the non-game part. Because God's going to be serious. Isn't that funny? In other words, where you are is exactly where you need to be, because you can be anywhere you want to be. Because God knows where to find anybody anywhere. You can be down in the depth of the sea, or you can be, you know, on a high mountain. It doesn't make any difference. He'll find you. Because he loves you. He'll leave the 99 and go after you. Hey, how'd you get over here? So I don't know, I was hiding from you. Hiding from me? I'm the one that loves you. I know. Don't beat me up now. And God says, I'll never beat you up. I only came to bless you. Well, I've been naughty, and I was trying to hide from you, so you didn't catch me. I know, I saw that before the foundation of the world, before I even created you, that you're going to be naughty, and I came today just to set you free. Jesus has already died for you. The prey is already taken. Don't worry about it. The spoil is yours. It's exciting. Take counsel together, it's the same thing, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. God is with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. God with us, that's what Emmanuel means. El is God, and Emmanuel means with. So, with God. So, God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God is with us. That's the name of the Messiah. Remember, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. So, what is that? That means you have his counsel. You have his mighty power. Pele Ya'atz. Wonderful counselor. El Gibur. Mighty God. Ad Av. Everlasting Father. Sar Shalom. Prince of Peace. Those are the four titles of the Messiah. So, when he says, you know, stick to my word, that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about right there. That let God be your wonderful counsel. Let him be mighty God to do everything, protect you, and so on and so forth. Don't worry about it. You got the best counsel in the world. Live by his counsel, by his words. Constantly find out what he's doing. America today is not seeking God. But that's the only hope there is. I study politics all the time. I can tell you, there's nothing to politics except God. If you don't have God, you got. There's the only light. Politics cannot solve political problems. I'm going to say it again. Politics can never solve political problems. Economics cannot solve economic problems. It's the light of the gospel. The problem in the church, the religion, is it's immature. We never did seek him. We just sort of got faith in Jesus and then quit. We never got mature. Therefore, there's no light for the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, the city, you know, we have the right hill, but we're not lighting up. We forgot to turn our light on. The light isn't for you. It's not for you. It's for somebody else. The light is for people that are walking down in the valley and look up on the mountain and they can see that light shining bright over the whole thing. So the political arena is darkness, and it is today. And the economic arena is darkness, and it is today. Why? Because you don't have the light of the Lord. So what I would do is, don't worry about money making. Don't worry about political freedom and liberty and all that stuff. That's been eaten up. The way to do it is go back to the light. The light that in you be darkness, then nobody's going to see anything. It's not for you. You have the light in you. But if you don't turn that light on, if you don't go through the furnace and the fires and the troubles and the tribulation and say, Hallelujah! Best thing ever happened to me. This is a great place to be. It's all, you're always in an optimal situation because you have God. And he's Pele Ya'atz. He's El Gibur, Adav, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He's everything. But of course, you only believe that in theory. But you need to believe that truly, actually, really honest, you know. And say to him every day, talk to him. Get to know him. God, I have no idea what I'm about to say, but I know you're all those things. I love you, but I don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, don't lie to him. God, I'm so in love with you. Don't lie to him. Just say, God, I think my heart is because you did something and I believed in you. So there you go. Don't play games with him because he'll catch you. He'll put you through another furnace to find out. If you go through the furnace and you cry, that shows you had a little flesh in you. You know, if you go through the furnace and you rejoice, then you've passed the test. The minute you go through a fire, a furnace, affliction, a trouble, a judgment, and you go, Yahoo! In the world, trouble, but be of good cheer. Woohoo! All things are going my way. Zip-bidi-doo-da. Has anybody gone through a fire and said, you know what? I'm not worried about it. I know God is for me. I know God loves me. I know he can't change his mind. He loves me. He made that promise, and I'm holding him to it. Isn't that funny? I got him over a barrel. See, he gave me his card, and it said, if you ever get in trouble, call on me. God, trouble. Remember that card? You wrote it. See your signature? Ah. So you have to save me, even though I messed up. I know it's all my own fault, but now it's your responsibility. My fault, your responsibility. Take care of it. Thank you. I'm going to bed. Isn't that a great way to live? Do you all understand that? You don't really believe that. You just wish, well, that sounds so cute and so neat. You know what? If you do it literally, if you actually do that when you're in trouble, you'll find out your trouble goes away. But because you don't believe it, because even while you're believing it, you're thinking, eh, probably won't happen. Well, then it isn't. It isn't going to happen because you don't really believe it. But if you take it seriously and say, you know what? Even though I'm in prison, even though I'm in trouble, even though, you know, the doctor says I'm not going to live and our sister is, you know, alive and well, the best is yet to come. The best has been saved to last. You don't eat dessert at the beginning. Eat dessert at the end. Let your light so shine before men. Not because you were good, but But because God who is good liveth in you, then judges you, so then he can resurrect you and then show you off so that he gets all the glory. Because everyone's going to know if you ever shape up, it wasn't you. Everyone who knows you knows that. Well, you don't seem to be yourself anymore. You seem to be another person. Amen? You're not the person that I remember 2 years ago, 5 years ago. So you should be another person. You were born again. You died to the old man. And you reckon yourself dead. Just say it in words. Don't feel it. Don't think it. Don't understand it. Just say it. I'm a new person. I'm a wonderful person. I'm blessed. I'm amazement to my friends. Even my enemies are amazed. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup run over. You know, I mean, they got nothing. They're thirsty, but my cup is running over. I got too much. Hey, sprinkle, sprinkle, you know. You know, and I'm having fun because my enemies are there thirsting, trying to destroy me. You're a sinner too, you know. And I know it. But I trusted Jesus. Oh, man, that just turns them off. They don't want Jesus. They don't know that the whole reason for my existence is Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible, Word of God, tells me so. That's all there is. It's the end of theology. Take counsel together and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word that God gives you, then it would stand. But if you speak your own words, yeah, it'll not stand. So you counsel together. All right, let's do this. It's not going to stand. So everything is crumbling. Let me just tell you right now, the world's not coming to an end. I'm prophesying. The world's not coming to an end. This is just a test. It's just a test. It's one of those things coming on the radio. You know, the world's falling apart. The sky is falling. Don't believe it. It's not yet. God is after you. He's not after, you know, letting the bad guys win. The bad guys can't win until you're ready to go through the furnace. Are you ready? All right. Because if you're not ready, if you're not willing, he won't send you through. He wants you to say, you know, Lord, whatever it takes. I mean, whatever it takes. I want me dead so that I can serve you. And I want to bless the people around me. Oh, I just want to. How many are ready for that? Lord, I mean this now. From the depth of my heart. Now, my soul doesn't mean it, but you kill him off. But my spirit, there's a kind of like a war inside of me. Half of me wants to, half of me doesn't want to. So there's a little war. But the flesh will be killed and the spirit will be purified. Woohoo! It's exciting. Has anybody here had that already? So you could testify and say, Pastor, what you're saying is true. I went through hell, but I rejoiced. And when I did, it turned out great. And I'm so glad that happened. I didn't like it, but then I realized later that was good. It was good for me to go through that trouble. Is anybody excited about that? That's how you learn. It's like, well, could I learn without the fire? I'm sorry. That's cute. That was cute. But no. God knows how to spank you. He knows what's best. He knows that if he doesn't discipline you and spank you and, you know, tie you down, you'll go all over the place and flood. You know, you'll just flood. You'll spread poison everywhere. Hi, how are you? And he just poisoned them, you know. And everywhere you go, you can ruin everybody's life around you. Anybody had an experience of that? You know, I can mess up my family, then I can mess up my business partners. And I mean, I can just mess up any church I get into. I can just mess things up. And when you think, no, I think I can handle this. Oh, he loves that. Okay, then take counsel together, confederate, you know, figure out how to associate yourself, see what happens. For the Lord spake to me with a strong hand, and he instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. So, say it. From now on, I won't walk with the people. I'll walk with God. Now, that's lonely. When all you have is God, you're desperate. I mean, that is desperate. God, I'm afraid everything's falling apart, and the only thing I've got left is you. It's pitiful, isn't it? And God says, no, it's the best thing ever happened. So all you got is me right now? That's about it. He goes, wonderful. No, I mean, that's bad. I don't have anything. No, but you have me, right? Yeah, that's it. No, that's not it. That's it. That's exciting. When all you have is God, yeah, I mean, there's no hope now. You got it. There's no hope except in God. Hope thou in God. Yeah, my marriage is ruined. My health is gone. All my relationships, all my money, all my everything. I mean, it stinks. No, no, it's wonderful. What do you have left? Nothing. Well, me, right? Yeah. So I'm complaining to you. The only one I can complain to, because everything else has turned to nothing. And then God loves it. He just goes, well, let's us have some fun together. Let's just us rejoice. And then, you know, while we're rejoicing, I'll fix everything up. Yeah, sure. No, 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 seriously, honest. No, I'm just kind of depressed. I don't want to talk to you or anybody. I just wanted to give you a gripe, and now I'm leaving. We go drink a beer or something. You know? And so God is saying, no, no, let's have fun. Let's roll in the grass, you know, kick up our heels, have a good time, because everything's going your way. Yeah, sure. I believe that. I know it's written in the book. God loves those kind of people. Is anybody here like that? When troubles come, instead of rejoicing, we gripe, complain, run from God rather than run to Him. I just run to God and say, God, I screwed up. It's not somebody else's fault. It's mine. It's not some president or some, you know, bank or some, you know, disease or whatever. It's me. It's always me. I'm always the guilty one. Has everybody learned that? Has everybody learned that? The problem in your marriage is you. Isn't that fun? Do you believe that? Amen. Tom, do you believe that? Do you believe she's the problem? Good husband. That's good. Do you believe that all of her weight and burden should be on you? Yeah. So you release her and tell her you're the best, absolute best wife. Yeah, he's good at that. He's a good liar. No, no, tell her right now. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah. Powerful. Amen. Yeah. And you know what it is? It's that we have to learn to accept ourselves as having nothing, as being nothing. And it isn't the other person that could make me something and they just didn't do it because, you know, they wouldn't let me control them. That's not the problem. The problem is you don't even have a good view of yourself. You don't know who you are. You are nothing apart from Him, but in Him, you can do all things. So, He hasn't put you in a situation to hurt you or to, you know, yell at you or scream at you. He's put you in a situation so you'll turn to Him. All you got to do is turn to Him. Okay, Uncle. Okay, Uncle. Okay, I surrender. I surrender. Okay, I believe in you, but now I'm surrendering to you. That's different. Believing in Him is one thing, but surrendering to Him so that you are not you anymore. Okay, God, I won't think anymore. I won't feel what I feel. I won't think what I think. I won't want what I want. I won't say what I want to say. I won't do what I want to do. I'll say and think and do and feel and everything, whatever you want. How are you feeling today? I'm feeling pretty cheerful. Me too. And so every day is a great day. Amen? And all the problems in your life are designed to bless you. Not one problem is in your life to hurt you. To hurt your flesh, but you don't want your flesh. You don't need your flesh. You don't need to be a self. You have a God. And God has joined you to Himself. And when He joins you to Himself, you can't associate with anyone else. So He disassociates you, disconfederates, discounsels from everybody else. So that's why we don't want to do it. Because, you know, well, I want God, but I also want to stay in the world too. It won't work that way. If you want God, you have to go all the way. He's just really hoggish about that. God is just jealous. Like, okay, give me everything. Could I hold back a little bit? Yeah, but I'm going to have to, you know, burn it. No, you learn after a while. Give it all up. Now, I know you know, you won't do it. It's okay. God has designed it for stubborn people. He's got fires that work with stubborn people. Here's one. How many here are stubborn? Oh, my gosh. Too many. How many are not stubborn? Just docile, humble, you know. Oh, well, nobody. I guess everybody here is stubborn. Well, that's what the fire's for. That's what the troubles are for. You'll be glad someday I told you that. Because God wants you to know when the troubles come that they can't hurt you. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. So when it comes, you like, oh, I can't believe it's a trouble. No, 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 troubles are good. Troubles are good. The persons that are closest to you can help you. They can give you troubles. That's such a blessing. That's such a blessing, isn't it, Steve? That's what you want. Like, oh God, I wish she'd just see that, you know, she just could open her eyes. Well, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He wants you to rejoice before the other person changes. If they never change. What if they never change? Okay, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to love her so that she can change, and then I'll get what I want. No. He wants you to rejoice if it never happens. Isn't that powerful? That's called death. I mean, that is really death. I'm not going to be good for nothing. I'll be good, but only so I can get something. I won't be good for nothing. I want it to work. I'll use God to get the other person. No. Say not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. In other words, America today is trying to get Israel hooked up with the Muslims. Have you noticed that little agenda? They don't like each other. They're never going to be honest to each other. They're treacherous people. Well, America is going to help put pressure on them. Well, we're going to pay them money. Oh, well, that'll work. That'll work. Give them money. That always works. How many know that works? You're a victim, you're a victim. We'll give you two victims money. Isn't that nice of us? Aren't we kind and friendly? Well, there's a little self-interest there. Really? How little? Really? Tell me about it. No, the whole thing is just pieces of paper. What's money? It's just pieces of paper. But those pieces of paper are energy. They get things done. So all we're doing is seeing you can buy friends without God. I'm sorry. You're not going to do it. It's not going to work. Never. Ever. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Don't care about what people think. I mean, you know, what people think doesn't matter. Forget people. You're still trying to please your mother, your father, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your children, your pastor, your somebody. Forget that. Forget people. You don't have to please me. I don't want anyone here to please me. I'm already pleased with you. I like you just the way you are. The more wicked you are, the better. I like wicked people. I love wicked people. That's why I married Peggy. I love it. And her wickedness is not so much in showing the wickedness, because she doesn't, but it's in being wicked, and that's how wicked she is, that she's faking. I love that. I love fake. I do. I love hypocrisy. That's great. Isn't that great, Will? Don't you see that? I don't want her to shape up. I want her to be wicked. Just hide it. Hide it. See if you can hide it. And I have fun with Peggy. I have a lot of fun with her. Peggy. Now, you know you love me deeply. You're just not feeling it. But did you want to say it? No. I love that. I love those tricks. I have a lot of tricks like that. I have a lot of tricks. I do. Peg, now, didn't you want to say you were wrong and I was right? No. She just hates that because she's real straightforward. You see, I'm not. But she's very straightforward. Well, Peg, you know what the Bible says right here, because I'm trapping her. You know what the Bible says right here? Touch not the anointed. You know that. You do know that. And that just irritates her all the more. You see, it works the opposite of what I was hoping for. But you see, I love that kind of thing. I love that. I love it when people hate me. Well, you're not coming to church anymore. No. And they don't want to tell you why. I know why. I said, did I say something? Could I have said something? Did I do something wrong? Did I pick my nose or what? What? You know. And so, if you have a God, you don't worry about people. If you have a God, let God take care of everything. He said, seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. So, if you seek first the kingdom, he depletes you. He doesn't give you everything else at all. He takes it all away. Don't you see how God is a liar? But he isn't. Because if you'll just be patient, that's just a little test to see whether you believe that what he said he would actually do, but not in your time schedule. Only after your flesh was dead. Then when it doesn't matter, then he gives it to you. Oh, now it doesn't matter. Now it doesn't matter. Said, no, it does. So God is always going to be God. So how many know that your time schedule is not his? How many know that you are happy, radiantly happy right now? You really are. You are radiantly happy. I mean, you wish I would stop so you could stand up on your chair
and tell everybody, I'm in love with Jesus. More importantly, He loves me. But it's wonderful. Couldn't be better. Who would like to do that? Amen. Too powerful. See, that's too powerful. I believe you. That's too powerful. Why? Because the reason I know it is because I know I couldn't know it except by Him. That's why I know it. Because I know what a muck-up I am. But I know He loves me no matter what. Who else? Who else wants to say that? And see, the crises then didn't hurt you. They actually were an answer to prayer. They actually blessed you because they killed off any doubt you might have had, and now you're just radiantly in love. It's too powerful. What a happy way to live. You could actually have heaven on earth before you get to heaven. You could have heaven before you get to heaven. That would be great. Wouldn't that be great? And everybody thinks because it's so bad down here, evil, dark, and so on. No. It's actually heaven because God said it, and it's already over for Him. It's just I don't see it yet. So I just believe it. But when I believe it, I get evidences day by day just by my faith, even though I don't see it. But then suddenly I see something. And I go, no, that was good. I'm so glad I'm right where I am. I'm so glad God did not help me out the way I wanted Him to do it. I'm glad He did it the way He did it. Susan? I love it. I believe you. I believe that's true. I believe that's what God does. But He has to send you through all kinds of hell to get there. And that's not because He doesn't love you. That's because He does love you. The father that loves his son chastens him. Son, daughter, saint. If your father loves you, then he puts you through all that because you're royalty. He knows royalty knows how to get that gold and throw off the dross before they rain. Royalty has to go through more troubles. If you were Prince Charles, you don't get to grow up like other boys and girls. You don't even get to enjoy all the wealth you have. They send you out on trips into the North Sea and down to Australia among the Aborigines and, you know, swinging from rope to rope in the jungles and so on. You have to do that if you're going to rule and reign in this world. You have to mix and mingle with the greatest and the worstest. That's royalty. So in other words, wherever you are, you're content. I've learned in whatever state I am, Paul says, to be content, whether I'm abased or abounded. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I'm royalty. I know I'm God's beloved. That's the way royalty is raised. Now, if you avoid troubles all the time, always trying to, gee, I hope something bad doesn't happen. Oh, gosh. Oh, my. Okay, no more. Please, no more. That's enough. I've suffered enough. No, you haven't. Because you're talking. As long as you're talking instead of praising, you haven't suffered enough. Please, I have. I completely have. You know, and people are always full of woes and tears and problems and troubles. Well, why not rejoice? Why not rejoice? You have a God. No, you need to go through the furnace again. So you learn. When you get in that furnace and you start going, turn it up! Hallelujah! Because would your Father in heaven ever put you in a furnace where you would come out with an F? You're going to come out with an A+. He puts you in that furnace knowing you will survive, but not the old you, the new you. The one that trusts in God, the one that God lives in. That's what he's wanting. Trust him. That's all he's saying to you. Just trust me. Trust me. When I put you in the furnace, trust me, it's okay. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Okay, I have to turn it up a little bit. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Okay, I have to turn it up a little bit more. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Ah, that's it. I turn it up some more. Yahoo, yahoo. Okay. Okay, you're okay. How many know he will never tempt you beyond your strength? Did you hear what I just said? He'll never tell. Come on, what kind of a God do you have? Is he a mean, nasty God, or is he a wonderful, loving father? So, even though the world looks rough and tough, he's just testing you to see if you're royalty or not. But after you go through the furnace and you come out on the other side, you're going to thank him. You know, Lord, I hated that thing, but it turned out best thing ever. Because it put an end to me. And I needed to be ended. The problem wasn't the problem. I was the problem. That is my flesh. But thanks be unto God, you loved me in spite of my flesh, removed my flesh, and now I'm fit for heaven. I'm fit for eternal life with you forever and ever. And I will rule and reign. And I'm no longer too small or too big. I'm just my right size. God's size. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He'll be a sanctuary. He shall be for a sanctuary. He's your sanctuary. That means where to go, where to run when you're in trouble. But for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. So Israel, northern and southern today, the house of Judah and the house of Joseph, whatever you want to call it, Manasseh, Ephraim. Some people liken that, by the way, to America and Britain. But anyway, the point is, don't worry about all of that. Don't worry about all of that. God is going to pick out of that furnace a pure bride, spotless. So whatever's going to happen, don't worry about it. For a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That means Jerusalem is going to be divided into three parts. Jerusalem is going to be part Christian, part Muslim, part Jewish, and it'll never become one for any one of those. The Muslims will never leave, and they're never going to take over. The Christians are never going to leave, but they're never going to take over. The Jews are never going to leave, but they're not going to take over either. It's a divided city, because God's trying to tell us something here. He doesn't have any favorites. He likes Muslims too. He loves Muslims. He loves Muslims. Not because they're good. Jewish people aren't good. Christian people, they're the good ones. You all saw that was a joke. That's good. That's a joke. We're all alike. If he can love one, he can love the other. If he can love, you know, if he can love anybody, then he can love everybody. I mean, it's just God is not mad at anybody. God's not mad. He took it all out on Jesus. All the mad's gone. Now there's no more mad. Now, unless you choose to say, I think God is evil and bad and so on, okay, well, that's your choice. But he loves you, and he's made every effort to get to you without forcing you. He will not force you. So if you want him to force you, he won't do it. If you go in the furnace and you don't like it, you can jump out. God, I'm out of here. He's only putting you in there to say, trust me. Go through this furnace. Well, I don't like furnaces. Yes, you will. The real you will like it. The old you won't. Well, it's the old me that's talking right now. Well, I know. Well, let's hear it from the new you. Yes. Go through the furnace. Amen? That's why you're exactly where you are. Don't clean up. Don't fix up. Just go and burn up. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared. Now, many is many. And be taken. Bind up this testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. I will wait, Isaiah says, upon the Lord. Because he hides his face today from the house of Jacob. Yet I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. So this has to do with Israel. When they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep, and that mutter. Should not a people seek their God rather than for the living God? Why do people seek wizards? They read their horoscopes. You know, why do they seek after some kind of prophetess or Nostradamus or, you know, all that stuff that's in the papers and whatnot? You know, stop that. The Mayan calendar. That's stupid stuff. That's stupid stuff. The Da Vinci Code and all that kind of stuff. But people are weird. People are weird. Thank God none of you are weird. Thank God. We got unweird people. Just regular people. Don't follow after the Shrouds of Turin and all that kind of nonsense that people, oh, it could be the picture of Jesus, or the ark was found yesterday. They found Noah's ark. That proves the Bible's true. You don't need that junk. You have the Word of God. You have everything you need right now. You don't need anything fixed or changed. Well, I know, but it would be, I have some doubts in that. That's just your flesh. Your flesh is never going to clean up anyway. Don't ever clean your flesh up. Just burn it up. God, send that to the fire so that gets done. So, is there anybody here praying now for troubles, problems? Your prayer will be answered. All right, listen to this, verse 20. To the law, to the testimony. That's the secret right there. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Did you know that the law, the Torah in Hebrew, the Torah or the law is not like try to keep it. The Torah or the law is actually faith, which precedes performance. You have to have faith and then works. You have to have relationship and then performance. Don't perform. You're not going to get the relationship because you perform. You're going to get the relationship and then you will perform because you have the relationship. Because it's Him. He's your light. You don't have any light. You don't have any light. You don't have life in yourself. But if you get Him in you, and that's what He wants. He wants to live in you. He doesn't want to live in us. He wants to live in you personally. And that makes up the us. So there is no such thing as an us, as a group, as a collective. This was the biggest problem in the American Revolution, by the way, to figure out if the king isn't the unity of the state, if he isn't the good, the king can do no wrong, and it's in the parliament, as it was in Britain, or is it in the people? Salus populi. Is it in the people? Maybe that's where the wholeness lies, the goodness. No. It doesn't lie in the people. It lies in the people individually. In other words, if the whole people, majoritarianly, you know, the majority of the people, tyrannize the individual and the minority, that's not good. So the whole people is not good. Even a majority of people can be evil to one black man in their town. It's easy. Or one minority, maybe the Muslims, living in your town. It's easy for them to do it. If they have all the laws in their hands and if they think they're good because they're the majority, then they get to exercise lordship over the minority. Hey, what are you doing here? You're not one of us. Get out. And that's not right. That's not where God puts it. But He puts it in each man. No color, no skin, no nations, no nothing. There are no divisions among us. Male, female, black and white, young and old, dumb and smart, skinny and fat, and so on. He doesn't care. Those matter among us. They don't matter to God. That's what the founders discovered between 1776 and 1787. In 1776, they still believed that the good was the public good, the good of the whole, the common good. Yeah, but what's common among all people? Sin. I mean, that's what's common. That's what's common. Not that everybody's a Christian or everybody believes in Jesus or everybody is mature or anything. They don't have anything in common. There's nothing in common. A name, that's not common. Where's the virtue in all the people? All the people have virtue. Really? Really? That's kind of naive and stupid. Any majority anywhere in any company, any tribe, any nation, any people, any anything, any kind of collective whatsoever. There's always going to be wicked people, and it's always going to be mixed with some good people. You're always going to have some good people, you're always going to have some wicked people. It's always going to happen. So you'll never find common unity anywhere. Therefore, there's no government. Government is not possible if you're looking for unity. There will never be common interest or unity among any people. So there you have it. Do you all understand that? So they finally figured it out. Let's build a nation where people actually sin, but we won't touch them until they sin grossly, outwardly. But inwardly, they can sin all day long. Because that's God's problem. We'll just handle the outward, and we'll only handle a few things. In other words, every time someone does some immoral thing, we're not going to go and get them. Or if they have a heresy in their religion, we're not going to deal with that. America was the first nation ever in the history of the world, including Israel, that said, let people be people. God will take care of that part. We'll only take care of a few things. And it worked. It's not working now because we've reversed it again. We've gone back now to the collective. We're socialists. We're communists. We're, you know, some kind of group, some kind of, you know, thing where you have no rights. You have no liberties. It's all been eaten up again by the power and so on and so forth. And your problem is you're about to get the chains on you and you don't even know what to do. Or you don't even know that anything could be done. Or you don't even remember how you got in the mess you're in. Or you don't even know how to get out of the mess you're in and you ought to. So, thank God for Pastor Jim helping you. Because I am telling you the truth. The light is in the Word. the Word of God, not some other word, not some other counsel, not some other joined thing. This is something separated unto you individually. Get a hold of this. Fall in love with Jesus personally. Don't worry about everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom. Get into His kingdom. One by one by one by one. You don't come in big groups, mobs. You know, well, my grandmother was a Christian. I think that rubbed off a little. Doesn't matter if she was. What about you? Oh, do I have to go, Peg? I'm almost done. Okay, two more verses. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. Chad, you know what you said the other day? Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I believe this refers to that. When people get in trouble, they look unto the hills. But the hills, you know, just human hills, aren't going to help you. You need to look to God. So Chad said, and I know he's right, but I never heard this before, that the second verse is a but. I will look unto the Lord or unto the hills from whence cometh my help. But my help cometh from the Lord. Now, you didn't say it like that, but that's what you said. And I never heard that before. So I now realize your help doesn't come from government. The hills are government. If you want to look in the Bible, mountains and hills are kingdoms and governments. So don't look to the government. Don't look to the hills. Don't look to some elder. Don't look to some pastor. Don't look to some leader. Don't look to some ruler. Don't look to man. But your help cometh from the Lord. He's your helper. Oh, there it is. So I believe this is the same. Listen to it carefully. And they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward to the hills. And they shall look unto the earth. It's the same. It's the same. And behold trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Now, in the Hebrew, it doesn't stop here under the verse, but in your Bible, that's the end of the chapter. But not in the Hebrew. In the original Hebrew, it would never start with the word darkness. The Hebrew would never do that. Even Hebrew words always start uplifted. Rosh Hashanah. They would never say Rosh Hashanah. Never. Every word has an uplift at the end. So when you see Eliyah, the Yah is God. Eliyah. So Eliyah. God, God. So Eliyah. It's optimism. It's confidence in God, not in man. Y'all see that? So that's true of all the words. So when you hear them saying Rosh Hashanah, it's Rosh Hashanah. Because you have to have a little, they don't think this, I'm telling you. You have to have that optimism, that confidence that, hey, don't be depressed. Imagine if you're depressed, Rosh Hashanah. You don't want to say Shana. You don't want to say that. And so they are depressed, but they don't know how to say it. They think their hope is in keeping the law. Oh, my gosh. What an awful thing. Make another brick, you know, bear another burden. You thought making bricks in Egypt was bad? Come out here to Mount Sinai. I'll give you some bricks. And so God doesn't lay more burdens on you. He lifts all your burdens. It's optimism, confidence, excitement, joy unto the world. Didn't we sing it? Joy to the world. You know, that you've got to have that joy. Joy unspeakable. It's so exciting. You're just bursting. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Y'all have that? Y'all have that? Y'all have that? Okay, let's have a couple. I got to quit here. But it goes on and talks about the Son is unto us. The Son is given unto us. You know, blah, blah, blah. And so it's all about that. And we'll do that next week. Okay, who wants to testify? My pastor. I go through furnace and fires, and I love it, and I just praise God. I'm getting purer and purer. I'm happier and happier. I'm more relaxed than ever. Okay, who wants to say it? Okay, I'll go to Fort Worth. Who wants to say it? Come on, somebody just make it up. Help me out.
Because the truth is that I am
Right. Yeah.
It's good. It's unshakable. It's good. Who else? Who else?
Right, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Amen. It's powerful. It's beautiful. It's good. Great testimony. Great testimony. Who else? Who else? Anybody? Just make it up. Help me out. Seriously. Pam, thank you. You don't even have to get me peanuts this year. Wow. See, that's too powerful. That's so precious. That's so precious. That's so powerful. But if anybody gets anything, get that. Get the joy. Get the joy. Because Jesus is everything. He doesn't want you to be anything. Just be nothing. Let Him be everything. When you're nothing, He's everything. Amen? Just relax. Everything you want to get, you won't get. So just be nothing, and then you get everything. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Now, you won't see that right away, by the way. When you humble yourself, become nothing, He wants to make sure you are nothing for a while. So that you get it down. You are nothing. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. And that's good. So, anyone else has learned that you're nothing? You've been something your whole life. Jack. Yes, Dan. I was thinking of you. Yes. Dan. Lift it up. It's becoming nothing. Who else? Lynn.
And it's such a blessing.
It is.
To lose.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And He'll just give you everything. That's what's neat is you work so hard to get something, and then you lost it, as Tim said, just when you're about dead. But then He just gives you more when you quit. And just go, well, okay, I don't care. I'm just going to rejoice in God. Ah, He loves that. He loves it. Like, oh, you got it. You got it. So the best is yet to come. Yeah. David.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Amen. You know, those three things right there.